Making friends as an adult is no easy feat. I'm really honored and lucky and humbled that Julie decided to be mine. A year and a half to 2 years ago, we had done a series of rough and tumble podcasts, and we had a few road trips that we decided to record during our driving time. Today, we talk about how to make friends, where do our friends go, why it's such a challenge, and some tips and suggestions for finding your own tribe. I'm inspired listening to it at the level of willingness she is to support me, and hopefully it will inspire you to take the big leap and extend yourself and develop this level of connectivity in your own community.
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
Julie.
Crystal.
You're in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And as you've noticed, we have not almost rear-ended anyone.
We have not rear-ended anyone, and there's been no flashing.
Yeah. We might want to explain that to those who don't live in Europe.
So flashing is when you are speeding and you're caught on a speed camera, and it's this bright big flash, and
that spikes your adrenaline.
That spikes the adrenaline, but also now, you know, it's kind of an old story for Crystal White, who has a tendency to be flashed, honestly. I'm a frequent flash receiver. So, and we're talking frequent like three times today. So I'm happy that you're in the driver's seat.
I'm hoping that you can keep your license.
Yeah. You know, today we're going to be talking about friends and why we need them and what being a friend means, how you cultivate that, why it matters, where have all our friends gone. And for you out there listening, or you to the left of me in the car, what will your friend do for you if you ask? Okay. So really, let's talk about that first. Julie, what does being a friend mean to you?
What does me being someone's friend mean to me?
Yeah. However you want to answer that question, what does being a friend mean to you?
I think it means that I'm typically present emotionally and some level physically in their lives. Like, I'm engaged with them. I'm engaged with somebody that I'm friends with. There's levels of friendship, for sure. I mean, there's people that you're work friends with, or you see outside of work, or people that you have different levels of stories that you'll share. But I think you need all of them. And I think you need to be able to navigate through which ones are which. Mm. Of course, I have in my mind, there's always some sort of taxonomy. So there's always some sort of diagram of who goes into what category. And you can move between categories.
How many categories do you have?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm sure there's categories. Well, there's casual acquaintances.
Uh-huh.
And then there's work friends that are beyond just getting the job done, you know, some level of commonality, or maybe you see them outside of work once in a while, or you wouldn't mind seeing them outside of work. And then there's people that you see that are like work friends, but they're not at work. So like for me, they're at like the CrossFit gym. Those people I see at the CrossFit gym, we're still doing work, you know, it's I guess defined by the context or the activity. And then there's people that are, like, in you, like, in your life, like, in your soul, that you, maybe you went through a time in your life with them that was particularly arduous, or somehow you've, like, walked the road with them long enough that you know no matter where they go, or no matter how often you hear from them, if they called you, you would get on an airplane, or you would go and pick them up, or, you know, there's those people that you cannot talk to for 3 years and then, you know, have a phone conversation with them and it's like you're right back and there's been no space.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that the definition of a friend in Crystal White's leadership terms is that somebody that you can be yourself with without editing or self-consciousness, and you have this warm
connection to. So there's this warmth and this shared unconsciousness that you have back and forth. That is kind of our definition of friendship. So how many friends where you can unconsciously be with them and there's this warm, positive feeling?
What do you mean unconsciously be with them?
Like you're not self-conscious. You just, you know, okay. You're not editing. There's no like mask. You just kind of freely you. You're not, you know, positioning yourself in a certain light, and you don't, you know, kind of maneuver with consciousness. Like it just, you're unconsciously, lack of self-consciousness, freely you.
So your walls are down.
Your walls, great, yeah. That's a better way of that. Your walls are down, you're fully you, and there's a sense of positivity with.
Six. You?
You know, I've got these five people in my life. They're like I call them my tribe. Those are people that have different roles. Like one of them, I've got a best friend, and this other person is like almost like a soulmate for me. Exactly. She's in my soul. We're very similar people, but definitely five, six, seven on the outside. And I'm always looking to add eight, right? I've got like this non-negotiable.
Not 12.
You know, I've got like this, the disciple principle, but I'm always looking to add an eighth. I mean, I think the vitality of any partnership must be friendship. Without a doubt, we talked about trust last time. Without a doubt, there's this level of trust given and a level of trust received. So that's what being a friend to me is. You get to be you, and there's warmth and acceptance around that.
So why do you think that so often we hear, especially when we do like activities around social networks? Wait, is that the term?
Yeah. Social media, like
no.
Platforms.
No, I'm talking about the activity that we did in leadership where social network.
Yeah, social support system.
Social support system where people say, I don't have friends. Or I'm not, you know, I don't have time to have friends.
Right. Yeah, there's a couple things that are missing. Some people think that a friend is also a person that guides you to be like a better version of yourself. That's not the case. Oftentimes you can have a friend that you get to be you and there's love with, but that's not the person that kind of helps put you to the next level. So it's really helpful to kind of partition those two out. For you, I think that you have people in your life that are friends, but also don't challenge you, right? But often for you, I find that you like people that do both. Why don't people have friends anymore? There's lots of research.
Well, I mean, it's really, you know, you would present this, we present this question about who's your friend and who's not your friend when we do autism evaluations to children.
Yeah.
Children are able to answer this question. But you pose it to some adults and
they have taxonomies.
Well, it works. I mean, it's functional. I have friends.
Sure.
So why is it that as we age, we devalue that, or we see it as something that was from our childhood or something that was isn't like a vital part of being an adult?
Well, research will show that most adults do not have more than three friends. And here's the kicker. You think you do, but then when you look at those six people, Julie, how many people in the last month have done a check-in with you? How are you doing? What's going on with you? Where are you at? What are some of what's, you know, what's, how can I love you or support you better? And many adults, then that number, they think it's six off their top of their head. People listening, six. All right. Find a person that knows the real you now, not the real you when you were 21, not the real you at 30, not the real you at whatever, like now, sound and current. You've checked in with them and it is vital now in the present. We tend to have this experience of friendships where it's through a particular season or a shared experience in college, or maybe, you know, you've gone through something together, and then regular adult tasks and responsibilities sweep that away. Adults don't have time to socialize. Adults take their children to socialize. Adults are more concerned about their children's social skills than their own. Adults are more concerned about completing their email and getting their email decluttered than checking in with
their best friend. And we are told that the measure of an adult is not placed in our friendships and our social support systems. We shouldn't need an adult. You should be independent on your own. Like, that's, you know.
I mean, this is what's wrong with society.
It kind of is what's wrong. And then we have things that are supposed to help us be connected to other people and maintain our friendships. And what research has shown time and time again is it actually detracts from these real bonds being formed and real, like, true, present, passionate, sound, vital, sound and current relationships. So when is the last time you checked in with those six people, and what is something you want to do about it? So that's a good question.
That's a really good question.
The thing that we know about at work is that people who say that they have a best friend at work, not even a friend, but a best friend at work, those are the people that tend to be the most engaged. They tend to put in more effort when they're in any task, and they tend to be the ones that are happiest, most satisfied. And that makes sense, right? I mean, like, who doesn't want to
feel supported
at work and actually enjoy things? Because I just talked about, like, it's not just that the person knows you. You actually feel good when you're around this
sure.
person, right? There's high level trust and you feel good about it. Now that's a team that I want to be on. Also, the thing about friends, because you feel so accepted and warm and there's not this degree of self-consciousness and there's not editing, you can make mistakes with your friends, right?
I hope so.
Right? So there's something about being with people in that setting at work that it your high reliability on your teams depend on you failing and you having support to call you out on your failures in order to learn from them quickly and course correct. So,
but I think this is something that you and I both believe is that making mistakes is actually part of the creative developmental process. But
yeah.
A lot of people try to hide that.
Oh, I think that I try to hide this all the time. Like, I think it's really easy for me. Anytime there's, like, some type of problem, I'm like, oh, you know, this person sent me in the wrong address. Right?
Yes.
Or this person runs this meeting this way or whatever it is.
But that's not, I mean, I'm talking about, like, an error, you know? If you can't be vulnerable enough to say, I made a mistake, I think... And by therefore, maybe you don't take the chance, you know, it holds you back. You should, ideally, you feel comfortable enough to do something bold, maybe it fails, and then you have somebody there who's got your back, whether it fails or it succeeds.
Yeah. Okay. So, Miss Independent Thinker Julie, of course, that's what we want. Where do you learn that?
From failing.
From failing. Where do you learn that? Not just from failing. Where do you learn that? It's okay to fail and I will support you.
From your friends.
Right.
That's right? What I'm saying.
From your family. From, like, a friendly family environment, from some situation.
From sports.
From if that is cultivated in a sports team and it's not suppressed. So,
right.
Of course, we learn how to fail only through friendship. Only. We learn how to be vulnerable because there are people supporting us along the way where that is embraced. And you're not judged, or it doesn't come back later, or somebody doesn't like it when you fail because it secretly makes them feel better.
Like, use it against you.
Yeah. Or it makes them feel superior when you fail, you know? So I think that this is why true friendships, like, inside the workplace, outside the workplace, is what it needs the most attention in almost every domain of our functioning. I would prefer people to have resolutions to, like, I'm going to make a friend this year than to lose 30 pounds, 40 year pounds.
Yeah, it'll be a higher bang for your quality of life.
Absolutely.
So, here, this is the question. It's the new year, you're looking around, and you say to yourself, I'm not really so happy. Maybe I'm not really so happy at work. And you have a belief that you believe what we're saying.
You're like, yeah.
That, and you believe that your life would be better if you had more social connections at work, if you had a friend at work. What, as an adult, people are sometimes very awkward at starting this, and they don't know how to start it. How do you start it?
How do you start a friendship?
How do you frame your mindset that you're going to take some risks and you're going to try to cultivate a friendship with someone, and there is some vulnerability there. Like, you don't know that it's going to, you don't know that you're going to be received. I mean, hopefully you pick somebody that there is already some commonality or energy between the two of you, but you don't know for certain. How do you take the risk?
Well, it has to first start with this desire for it. I think some people don't really ever take the risk because they don't have that really in desire that it's something you must do, right? Because, like, just think about it as an adult. You must do so many other things. So, one, you really must believe that this would work for you.
Right.
And there's lots of research. If you just put attention into going and Googling the impact of friendship, and, you know, at Harvard, it's the longest study of human dynamics that's ever been researched in a university. Harvard has shown over and over again that it is the quality of your social connections is what makes you live longer, happier, more vital. It is the secret sauce of not only a thriving life, but a long life. So you got to believe in it first, and you have to set your attention. And there's ways then, if you have an intention, and then frame your attention. Now, taking the risk is one thing. Just once you set your mind to it, you're going to be able to take the risk. Two, the risk goes down a little bit when you're around people that you are naturally laughing at. Not that forced social, ha ha ha, I have to laugh at Bob in the break room because he brought cupcakes or whatever and he made a joke. Like, there's something, if you quiet down, you will listen to your core saying, I like this person. This person has positive energy. This person is somebody that I admire or does a little bit better than me or has said
resonates
something.
Resonates with you.
Yeah, intrigues you. Everybody makes friends for different reasons. I really think that if you just listened and paid attention to when you feel good around certain people, then you take the next step. You have to put yourself in situations to be social, whether it's saying yes to colleagues, offers to go outside of work for a happy hour, or meet them for lunch, or somebody you're starting to walk and you've got a walking club. You have to put yourself in social situations. So Dr. Crystal White has a great dinner parties. We all know that she does this, or she's a really bad driver, so she needs to be driven because she's lost her license or whatever it is. Somebody asks you for something, that is a great sign that maybe that person respects you in a certain way. And you can kind of put yourself in the position, who is asking me for help? And then the second, what do I need help in? And asking for help has actually shown to be highly effective in getting other people to buy into you. Like, ask for help in any area and somebody that you like. And I am guessing that will facilitate a friendship. Do not assume that one gender is worse or better in this, friendship making venture than others. I think most people, most adults really stink at it. So you kind of have to take the risk to feel good, one, and prioritize it, two, and then three, notice when somebody's asking you for help or ask for help and make a commitment in the next week to execute on it. So my question is, what would you do for a friend that you wouldn't do otherwise?
Listen to them. what would I do? I think I'm pretty generous with actions, but I think that, you know, if somebody I knew, somebody I worked with who was like a person on the periphery, their car broke down or something, I would probably go pick them up. But a friend I'm willing to sit in uncomfortable silence with for as long as it takes them to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, I think we were talking about being good and being giving, and your giving is definitely acts of service, and your good is like this good listening. You definitely help people find their true voice. I think where you can work on just a little bit is being game for like some spontaneous, friendly funness that might put you out of your way and take you on an excursion.
I feel like I'm pretty game.
I think today you're really game. I'm going to give you props. This is an inside joke. Julie has been completely game for Crystal White's antics today. but that's cool about you. There's something about you right now that's game. Right? And yeah. I think that is great about friends. Like, you got to be good friend. And guess what? Your version of a good friend is not other people's good friend. So yeah. Friends need other things. Be good for them. Don't think that they need what you need. Probably not a good strategy. But then you got to be giving. Like, how can I be generous with this person? Right. Easy to forgive. How can I bless this person? How can I bring warmth to this person? You got to be giving. Bring them warmth. If you're not offering warmth to your friends, you're not a friend. That's not what friends do.
No.
And the last one, you got to be game. So if a friend wants to do something social that's outside of your element, or it kind of takes work, you got to have the fortitude to be game for that. If you want to maintain a friendship, you must put yourself in a position of doing work. You must make the call. You must go on that date. You must find yourself doing something that you typically wouldn't do. And it will be effort, just like any other relationship. It will be effort. So I think that's really important. What would I be willing to do for friendship?
What would you be willing to do for friendship? Yeah. For somebody that you were truly close to?
Yeah, like one of my top eight people.
I mean, anything, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty, I break the law.
Yes.
And a half. Probably there's lots of ways I would color outside the lines and climb the mountaintops and swim the oceans to fulfill the honor of being called friend. So
I think it's, we would all be better off if we drop this idea that we're just too busy.
Yeah.
It's reality. We're busy.
Yeah.
People are busy, but you're not too busy to love.
To love. And honestly, it strengthens your core relationship. So research time and time again, Google this. Many couples don't have a friend outside of the marriage. So then you just get in a rut looking at your spouse the same way. And oftentimes a good friend can like, I love you. And have you thought about their perspective? Or it gives you distance from your spouse. Your spouse can't be everything for you. So you rely on your friend, and it takes the pressure off of this romanticized version that your spouse or your best friend has to do everything. Like, we need to diversify who we rely on. Marriages are happier, healthier, longer, more fortified if you have a friend outside of the marriage, outside of the family even. And also it shows time and time again that you're a better parent for it. So go ahead and Google that stuff. And hopefully you have a little bit of fun this
week.
Friends
are not just for children.
Friends are not for kids. Friends, what's the purpose of being an adult if you can't like have...
I understand. At this point in your life, you have, where we are, we're through the bad part of our development of our careers. We have some money, right? I mean, we just went to Austria for the weekend. Like,
you still owe me money, by the way.
I did pay for the hotel room. The bar charges.
That's what a good friend does. Okay, everybody listen, just a take home. Pay for the bar tab. That goes a long way. If you want to take a risk and you want to make a friend, all it does is say, I want to go out for drinks. I am buying.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Advice. That was very direct. All right. Thanks for being my friend today and being game.
Thanks for being my friend.
Very literally.
Take me away on your
game.
Bad GPS endeavor.
Yeah. It's my pleasure.
I was very game today.
Thanks for being you.
Thanks for being you.
Talk to you soon. Bye, people.